celebrating 50 years of ministry, this is Breakthrough with Rod Parsley.
If you will lay aside every weight of sin that does so easily beset you, you'll have power of your own.
Everything he purchased in his victory at the cross, my warfare is to walk in it.
You know that when hell gets to cutting up, it's just an indication that the biggest breakthrough that you've ever seen before is on the horizon.
There's some stuff nobody knows I did, and you forgave me for it, and you died for it, and you were wounded for it.
The more the devil fights me, the more I'm coming out with a punch, baby. I won't stay here another day.
You shouldn't be worried about any attacks. The attack is the indicator of your closeness with God.
Culture should not change the church. Culture should not change the Christian.
We free ourselves from the chains of religion and timidity, and tomorrow we're about to change the world.
Calvary
is the central message of all Christianity. There is no Christianity, plain and simple. There has never been, there will never be a true Christianity without Calvary's cross. It is the hallmark, the amen of God to an authentic life-giving gospel. So today I want to talk to you about the gospel of Calvary. Everybody say that. The gospel of Calvary. So the gospel is what? Good news. So we're going to talk about the good news of Calvary. And the good news is he didn't stay there. The stone got rolled away. He got up. Mary, go and tell. The Son of God is risen. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. If you believe it, shout now. And well, so this is why I want to draw your attention to the place called Calvary. It's an unusual place. Jesus proclaimed powerfully and profoundly his love from you from the cross of Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the love that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. It's the hinge upon which the door of all human history swings. It's the pivot round about which all the events of the ages revolve. It's the fulcrum of God's grand and glorious lever. 4,000 years in the crafting, where one man on one tree on one Friday pried a fallen world from Satan's diabolical grip. I'm speaking, of course, about the cross of Calvary. Rough and rugged it was, mangled and mean. It is there at the intersection of those two rough-hewn wooden beams that we look with horrified wonder upon the raw veracity of the love of God. Now, this cosmic crossroads sits atop a skull-shaped hill. It was just outside a garbage dump. In a troubled backwater city on the periphery of the vast Roman Empire. Just a spot. Look now on that center stake. There hangs a bleeding, wheezing, sighing, crying, solitary figure. The Prince of God. Alone, abandoned, spat upon, beaten, whipped as no mortal had ever been persecuted. Calvary. Calvary is the central message of all Christianity. The Old Testament seers, they prophesied about it. New Testament believers proclaimed it throughout the world. It is the irrefutable evidence of God's incandescent holiness and his immeasurable love. There is no Christianity, plain and simple. There has never been, there will never be a true Christianity without Calvary's cross. It is the hallmark, the amen of God to an authentic, life-giving gospel. So I've got a lofty aim. I want to help us recalibrate our thinking so that we can place Calvary back at the epicenter of our faith where it belongs, and prayerfully we'll gain a true understanding of the Prince of God, Jesus of Nazareth, the awful price he paid to make you whole, spirit, soul, and body, and all that pertains to life and godliness, and not only to make you whole, but to make you his. One thing is for certain. There is no triumphant culture-shaking gospel of Jesus Christ without the cross of Calvary. Romans chapter number 8, Romans chapter number 8, verse 15. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery. Stop. Notice he said spirit. There are some people that are slaves living in the land of the free in the home of the brave. There are some folk in slavery right now in this room, watching me, listening to me in Elkhart, Indiana. You are enslaved by your own ambition. You are enslaved to ungodly images on a screen. You are enslaved in the captivity of your own mind. You are enslaved by the opinions of those around you. That is a spirit of slavery. We've set free 50,000 men and women with arm and leg shackles, shackling them to a tree. Their breasts cut off because they named the name of Christ. Men of working age with their left hand cut off so that they can work still with their right hand. They are enslaved. Some are in slavery to their past. Some in the fear of their future and equal slavery. Some enslaved to fear. But I got great gospel news from the cross. He that the Son makes free is free indeed. Free in your mind, free in your body, free in your future, free from your past. Thank God you're free. He said, you didn't receive a spirit of slavery, but of adoption, through which you cry, Abba, Father, Abba, Daddy, Abba, Papa, Abba, my own dear Father. Please do not place him in the category of most of your earthly fathers. Regardless of how great they may have been or absent they may have been, there has never been a father like Abba. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is the message of the gospel of Calvary. With his body covered in blood, I love you. I'm doing this for you. I don't love the person in front of you. I don't love that person that you perceive is so good. Well, I don't even love the church. I don't even love the world. Until we understand that Jesus loves us. Everyone, you personally, so much that he climbed on that tree. He allowed nails to part sinew and flesh. His body jerked spasmodically, quivering, up again, down again, up again, down again, attempting to get a breath. And today, he wants to give his breath to you. All you have to do is accept him. All you have to do is pray that one prayer, Abba, I belong to you. He'll wrap his loving arms around you. He'll erase your past. He'll make your present make sense. And he'll give you a future that is beyond your comprehension. That's who he is. That's why he came. That's what he does. And I don't care what social media has said to you. I don't care how many times a parent may have called you stupid or dumb. I don't care what some elementary school teacher that should never be around a child said to you. It makes no difference to him today, because today his blood can make you whole. He sees you today. He sees you. He knows what's gone down. He knows where you've been, where you haven't been, what you've done, what you haven't done. And you know what? He says to all of it, just call me Abba. Just let me be your daddy. And in my own blood, I wash every sin away, and you'll be as free as the morning breeze. You wake up tomorrow knowing you're as sure for heaven as if you were already there. Now every head bowed and every eye closed, because somebody wants to make him Abba today. And remember, Jesus' name came from Joshua, second only to David in his might and strength and warring character. He was no pushover. That's your Abba. He'll get between you and every adversary, between you and every sin, between you and every temptation, between you and every attack, between you and every sickness and disease. He will be your Abba. But you'll have to let him be. I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. I'm going to count to three. When I say three, you want to accept him as Abba. Now listen to me. I preached about the love of God today. An evangelist friend of mine held a five-day meeting. The first four nights, he preached on the wrath of God. He preached on hell. He preached on who was going to hell and why. And he gave the altar call. People flooded the altar. But on the final night, he decided to preach on the love of God. He preached about Abba, I suppose. A God who loves you regardless and wants to give you eternal life. He preached on the love of God. When it came to the close of his message, although the previous four nights he had begged, he had pleaded, he had wept, he had cried, people came to the altar. But when he preached on the love of God, he opened his Bible, he preached that word, he closed his Bible, put it on the platform desk, walked out the back door, gave no one an opportunity to pray. And he said this when he was asked why. If they won't respond to the love of God, the fear of God will never keep them. It's only that love, that unconditional love, that unbridled love, that unfathomable love that will keep you close to God. So I give you that opportunity now. Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, I can do it myself. I don't need anybody to love me. How's that working out for you? This is it. On three. Don't confuse the love of men for the love of God. The love of men is weak and anemic and is mostly lust and has nothing to do with love. How do you know the difference in lust and love? Love sacrifices itself for the benefit of another. That's what Jesus did. He gave his life for you. He rose from the dead and he can change your life. Today, let him do it. On three, raise that hand. This is it. Eternity waits on no one. On three, raise that hand. Make him your Abba today. He's waiting to lavish his love and forgiveness on your life. Do it now. One, two, three. Raise that hand. Leave it up. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Raise that hand. Come on. Raise that hand. Type in the word save. Raise that hand and leave it up while we pray. While we pray, raise that hand and leave it up. Do it now. Do it now. If you raised it, you can't do it secretly. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,
I come to you.
Born a sinner, and I have committed sins. I believe you loved me enough to die for me, to receive my penalty in your own body. on the tree. Jesus, I accept you today. I believe in you. I confess you as my personal Savior. Forgive me and give me eternal life. And let me know beyond all doubt, I am your child. You are my Abba. Thank you for doing for me what no human could ever do. Thank you for forgiving me and for loving me and for giving me eternal life. I'm going to live for you as you show me how. It feels so good to know you're my Abba. I could almost shout, oh, why not?
This is a Bridge of Hope update.
If there's a label, an existence that absolutely no one wants, it's the life of a refugee. Here's why. It's a circumstance that one finds oneself in that defies all hope. These suffering families face constant violence, gnawing, aching hunger, the lack of shelter, virtually no medical care at all. In Sudan and South Sudan, the number of starving refugees is staggering. Almost 2 million have sought safety, and their numbers are increasing exponentially every day. Their governments simply cannot handle it. There's little, if any, food. Sickness, disease are rampant. Children are dying. In one refugee camp in South Darfur, a child perishes every 2 hours from starvation and disease. And that's why I'm reaching out to you again, because Bridge of Hope must do more. And I need your help. I'm asking you, could you help me? I know your heart is to help. So I've been able to extend our Save Them Matching Challenge for just a few short days. Precious lives are hanging in the balance. And before the Lord, I refuse to do nothing. So today, thanks to the help of some of our most generous friends of this global relief effort, your gift, hear me, is going to double in ministry impact. Every dollar becomes two. Your compassionate gift today of $96 or more, less than $100, will help us feed 32 desperately hungry, dying children in one refugee camp. And because of your generous Christ-like heart of tender compassion, they will not become another sad, sad statistic. Please, call now. You can do it. Your heart is to do it. God will help you. Call now with your gift of $96 or more. Now, if God has blessed you to do more, now is the time to act. You can also put your gift to work immediately by simply clicking on rodparsley.com. Now, remember, this matching challenge, this doubling of your gift will end on June 10th. So please, we don't have time to delay. The lives of literal millions hang in the balance, and God has placed a seed in your hand that can literally save lives. Every gift is so very vital. It'll help Bridge of Hope respond wherever and whenever help is needed. You know, that's been our mission now for 4 decades, 40 years. This crisis is especially acute. The situation's so very desperate, friend. I'm praying that some of you will be able to give an extra special gift right now, perhaps $500, maybe $1,000. I am well aware that it's summer, and you know and I know what happens in summer. Everybody's outside. Not very many folks are watching television. Schedules are disrupted. So it's critical that I hear from you this week. Please, thank you for calling. You can call day or night. There's a mother praying halfway across the world that you will become the lifeline of hope for her children. Let's answer her prayer.
Bridge of Hope must extend our appeal to help provide food and emergency aid to the desperate and dying suffering in the Horn of Africa. Our partners in the hot spots of hunger say the need is great, and children in some refugee camps are dying at an unheard-of rate. Please respond quickly with your $48 Bridge of Hope love gift. It will be doubled in impact to help feed 16 children as we extend the $50,000 Save Them Matching Challenge. Your generous gift of $96 will provide food and emergency aid for 32 children. Mothers are watching their children suffer from the lack of food at no fault of their own. The situation is critical. Please consider a very special gift of $300. Nearly 100 children will live because of your generosity. Let's save lives and restore hope. Call day or night, click on rodparsley.com, or rush your letter today. This limited time matching challenge extension expires on June 10th.
Well, before I'm forced to leave you today, I hope you'll allow me to share God's word. It's a word from Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 10. Here's what it says. If you give yourself to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light will rise in obscurity and your darkness will become as noonday. Well, friend, that's my prayer for you today. That you be that one who gives to the hungry, who pays attention to the afflicted soul. Hope you'll rush your gift today to save lives in Africa and let God's blessing shine on and through your life. I pray you will. Till next time, you keep praying for those suffering children in Africa. We're helping them. You're making it possible. Thank you for joining me on your international broadcast of Breakthrough.